Drink. Are we on? Hello? Hello? Hi. Are you ready? Hold, please. Talk amongst yourselves. Is it this? Don't blow on it. You don't do that. No. Hello. Are you ready now? All right. Drink, drink, drink more water, as much as in a stream. Hydrated, 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 hydrated. It's how you ought to be. I'd like to give a shout out to Lindy Coulter, who helped me when I didn't know what to sing. And she suggested that tune. So thanks, Linda. All right. The 10-mile bike ride. There are bike rides here, did you know? There are going to be two bike rides this week that Brad Bolton will lead, as he has for many years. The 10-mile bike ride, this is on the Kokosing Gap Trail, which passes the campus here and is incredibly beautiful. The 10-mile bike ride will be Tuesday, that's tomorrow. Meet in front of Old Kenyon, that's the large dorm at the end of the middle path that faces you when you're walking that direction. So meet at the front of Old Kenyon at 3:15 with your helmet and bike in good working order. Younger children need to ride with a parent. This ride will be in the shade along the Kokosing River, perfect for a hot day. Do you believe that? Brad doesn't lie. I happen to know this, so he's telling the truth. So contact Brad Bolton, who is the guy with the camera. If you don't already know him, he's been taking a lot of our pictures this week for more info. I'm going to jump to an announcement that parallels that. The person who handed me this wrote it as, "Please don't forget your bike helmets." But in fact, you may not forget your bike helmets. We have had a rule at SI for many, many years. You may not ride your bikes on this campus when you're here with us without helmets. We have a couple of bike helmet officers who are very, very adamant about this and will stop you and make you get off your bike and walk, and sometimes even give you their helmet and make you ride it with their helmet back to the dorm to get your helmet. So this is for grown-ups and youth. I know we're mostly grown-ups here, but you can help us communicate this. We need everyone to wear bikes all the time on campus. Wear bikes. There are special kinds of bikes. Mine folds up, and so I could wear it, sort of. See what you can do about that, but wear a helmet while you are wearing your bike as well. This note also says your brains are important. Protect them. And I will suggest, if anyone is curious to know what you might be like if you had a head trauma, a head injury, you should talk to Heather Dinklage. She is the one who gave me the notice or the update and asked me to remind people. And Heather used to work in a head trauma center, and so she can tell people firsthand exactly what it could be like if you had a head trauma. We don't want that to happen. Additionally, when you are crossing the streets at the crosswalks, you should walk your bikes and you should be cautious. Even though there is a law that bikes are supposed to stop for us in the crosswalks, if you shoot out into the crosswalk on your bike, the driver doesn't have a chance to react, and not all drivers observe that law. So we need to be cautious when we're crossing those streets, and it would be great if we could all help the youngest riders who are with us remember to walk their bikes and perhaps help them to cross the street when they need to cross. Thank you. All right. Vespers childcare. There is childcare during Vespers if anyone is interested in having children who go to Vespers childcare. Tonight, they are meeting outside. They're playing with bubbles and things outdoors. But at other Vesper services, they're going to meet roughly under the Chihuly. Does everyone know that there's a Chihuly sculpture back here? Okay. In the hallway that connects these two buildings, Storer Hall is behind us, and we are in Ross Hall right now. There is a fantastic Chihuly glass chandelier hanging from the ceiling. It's incredibly beautiful. You should see it. And also, if you have children who are going to go to Vespers childcare, you could take your children there before Vespers to get them together with the leaders for that. ASOP, the first UU, which is going to, it's scheduled for 6:30 on Wednesday evening. It's going to be in the Bolton Theater, not on the stage, which is where we originally planned it. It's going to be in the Bolton Theater, which is one of the theater artsy places that are to the right of Pierce Hall. And we will have that, well, Bolton Theater is marked, and I will announce it again. We'll get it into the printed announcements so that everybody knows where that is. We do have assisted listening devices available. If you are interested in using an assisted listening device, you're going to see Warren, who's one of the, Warren and Larry down here in front. They can take care of you if you need to partake of that. Hunger Games, the Hunger Games workshop. Tomorrow and beyond, so today is excluded, but it's already passed, whatever you wear will be altered permanently. So dress accordingly. I understand that tomorrow there will be dyes and paints and mud. And so just think in terms of perhaps not wearing your best, your Sunday best, which I know everyone is wearing this week. We have a contra dance scheduled at 6:30. That's the early evening time on tomorrow night, on Tuesday evening. And that is going to happen not in the Hogwarts-style dining hall, which is the Pierce Dining Hall, where we had originally scheduled it. This is because of the adventure hump in the middle of the room. That's not really conducive to good contra dancing. So we're going to move that. Maybe it would be. It would be a whole different kind of contra dance. We're going to move that to Gund Commons, which is where we had registration yesterday and where the youth are having most of their morning programming this whole week. So it's going to be at Gund Commons on Tuesday evening at 6:30. Likewise, the dance on at 9:30 on Wednesday evening is scheduled in Gund Commons, and that's the DJ dance that's going to be DJed expertly by the awesome John and Joey Murphy. They're going to do that. Yep. There is a campus ministry workshop that's in the early afternoon session. It's at 1:30 p.m., and tomorrow it's been scheduled to be outdoors where it's lovely and shady, but we didn't plan on the temperatures, so we're going to move that indoors into the Capels Lounge. And so this is a workshop on building campus ministry programs, and young adults especially perhaps would be interested in coming to listen and partake of that. Young Adult Vespers, which is at 10 o'clock in the evenings, it had been scheduled for the Bolton Dance Studio. No, it had been scheduled for the Bolton Theater. It's moving to the Bolton Dance Studio, which is near the Bolton Theater, but different. So don't go to the theater stage, go to the dance studio. The telescope on the lawn in front of Ross Hall will be open tonight after dark, weather permitting, so when stars are visible, you can come on out and see some things with the telescope, which for the first many years we were here on the Kenyon campus, it appeared every year when we did, and Kenyon had no idea what it was. In fact, they thought it was a Unitarian monolith that we were worshiping. Yeah. That's a true story. That is a true story. yeah. We think that perhaps in our midst there are many who might appreciate being in, a part of a post-DOMA discussion group. What's next after the Supreme Court's decision in the Windsor case? So Sam Hensgrieco has been attending and listening to some of the conversations that have come out of this, and he's got some thoughts and some information about it, and he's interested in talking with people who are interested in talking. And we're going to do that on Wednesday afternoon, and that's all I know so far. We will let you know exactly when and exactly where. We'll put it into one of our spaces here on campus on Wednesday afternoon, and I'll keep you posted about that. There is a blood drive going on campus this week. The Red Cross is here on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On Tuesday and Thursday, they will be in the bus. Many of you may have noticed the blood donation bus that was here today. It was parked behind Ascension, which is sort of catty corner from Pierce, where we're eating. And so the bus will be in that roughly same vicinity, somewhere in front of Pierce, on Tuesday and Thursday. On Wednesday, they will be down at the CAC. That's the athletic center at the bottom of the hill, and they'll be set up indoors down there. I don't think you can give blood every day. I don't think we recommend that. But you could pick one. Apparently, there are free tie-dyeable T-shirts to donors. If you need a T-shirt to tie-dye, all it takes is blood. Ultimate Frisbee is moving. Again, I think this is the second move, sort of. We are moving from the official football field, the turf football field, to the grass practice field. Yeah? Okay, that's good. I'm hearing that that's good. So tomorrow, Ultimate Frisbee, in the afternoon time slot where it is scheduled, will be on the grass practice field, which I believe when you go down the hill, Kenya, the athletic center is huge. The turf field is to the right and closer to where you're coming down the hill, and the practice field is on the other side of the CAC. Is that right, anyone? That's right. Got it. Perfect. Parents, in the morning, after morning worship, for getting your children to their RE classes, our request is that the parents bring your kids, K through 6, out to the angels. These are the statues, the angel posts out in front, to meet their teachers. Please don't send them out themselves. We do want you to come out there so that we know exactly whose kids we have and we're keeping track of everybody. Nursery and pre-K, parents should bring their kids directly to the classroom, please, at 9:15. And then everyone will have teachers with students and everyone either on the way or in their classrooms by 9:30 so that parents can come in here to be in here for the theme talk. We are, again, moving the belly dancing workshop. We moved it once before you got there, and now we're moving it again. We're going to try to move it to a different place every day and see if you can find it. Actually not. We think this is the only other move. But we're going to move the belly dancing workshop to Bolton Theater instead of Bolton Dance Studio, which is where you were. So we've done some flip-flopping there. The massage workshop, which is in the lobby of Bolton Theater, is going to stay where it is. Do not go anywhere else if you're in the massage workshop. But belly dance participants, you're going to go to the Bolton Theater stage, and you'll have your workshop in there during your session for the rest of the week. As far as we know, I'll let you know if it changes. We really, really need cafeteria line assistance. We have had some people not show up for their work shifts. Cafeteria line assistance, what we really need from you and what we need from additional people, because we don't have enough, are folks to help those in the community who need some support while they're just getting their food. So they may need someone to carry their tray for them. They may need someone to help with stuff because they're juggling a child and a tray and that sort of thing. So we need people to help with that. If you are able and willing and you have time at a meal and you can just help someone, I'd say just do it. If you have not followed up with John Murphy to get an assignment because you didn't have one, please do that, because we do have some people who don't have work shift assignments yet, and we'd like to ask you to help with that piece. So John Murphy, wave your hand. Beautiful. So that's John Murphy. If you still need a work shift assignment, talk to him. But if you go to eat, which probably you do, consider helping someone if you've got time and ability to do that. And last but not least, kickball is super fun and it needs you. Do you want to play kickball? Anyone? You need to play kickball. We scheduled kickball this year. This was a new addition to our afternoon lineup. It is for all ages. It is super fun. Joey Murphy is the funnest kid on campus. He is. I don't think anyone could argue that he's not. The planning committee decided to add this to our calendar this year, and Joey Murphy was our first choice. And we called him and asked him to do it, and he got excited about it. He's done his homework, and he's ready to play. So we want people to go play kickball with him, please. And I think that's everything that I have for you tonight. Thank you. Announcements will get shorter this week, I promise.
when we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives means the most to us. We often find it is those who, instead of giving much advice, solutions, or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a gentle and tender hand. The friend who can be silent with us in a moment of despair or confusion, who can stay with us in an hour of grief, who tolerate not knowing, not curing, not healing, and face with us the reality of our powerlessness, that is a friend who cares. And tonight, we light our chalice for those very friends who are no longer amongst us, who are with us, and for the new generations waiting in the wings.
In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to sing our first song with me, but I wanted to tell you about the song first. It's called Honey from the Rock, and it is simply a verse from Psalm 81, and it has come to be my own personal theology statement, because the words, as you see, say, I would feed you the finest of wheat, and I would fill you with honey from the rock. And to me, this is an affirmation that we are living and growing, evolving in a world that has evolved with us and that has evolved to respond to our needs with the finest of wheat. But then there's that pesky second phrase, I would fill you with honey from the rock. Now, bees don't usually make honey in rocks. So obviously this is not a literal statement. So what is it that the psalmist was trying to say to us? And to me, what I have heard in this line is that in order for us to live fully, we have to have courage to go into those places that we've protected in ourselves. When someone dies, when someone moves away, when we have experienced whatever kind of loss, we have a tendency to put up a wall, you know, a rock. We become as hard as rock. And the song is saying that in order for us to have access to that honey, we have to allow ourselves to open our hearts, to grieve so that we can then celebrate. So that's what's behind this song. And it goes like this. Oh, I would feed you the finest of wheat, and I would fill you with honey from the rock. Oh, I would feed you the finest of wheat, and I would fill you with honey from the rock. Honey from the rock, honey from the rock. Oh, I would fill you with honey from the rock. Please join and stand and join and sing. Oh, I would feed you the finest of wheat, and I would fill you with honey from the rock. Oh, I would feed you the finest of wheat, and I would fill you. let's do it again.
Oh, I want to be.
This is a very special service for this community. It has come to our attention that we really need to honor those who have died over the course of the last year. And I suspect that there might be others who I do not know of. And so I really require your assistance in order to ensure that we are able to name everyone who has died. Here's who we know so far. And I'm going to tell you how we're going to create a ritual together, and I want to describe how that's going to work first before we do it. For each person who has been a member of this community who has died in the last year, we are going to put a beautiful black stone in this bowl of water, symbolizing the living water of our community. And after all the names have been shared, I'm going to share some a reflection on grief, which will be followed by another selection from the folk orchestra. And during that time, I'm going to ask you to just allow your hearts to open to the stories, the memories, the insights, the gifts that you have received from those who have passed this year. Because after the folk orchestra is finished playing, there will be time for an open sharing of your memories and insights, the gifts that you will take with you. And for each of these gifts that inspire us to soar, we will place a feather in the bowl so that we can see that it's not just the heaviness of grief, the beauty of the stone reminding us of the beauty of our physical existence, but that the feather will also remind us that that we are more than our grief, that we have been incredibly blessed by all of these people. So if I could ask the chaplains to come forward to place the stones in the bowl. Is Lynn still up here? Yes, good. Great. And so the first stone that we will place in the bowl will be for John Marshall. And the second stone will be for Amber Hansen. And the third stone will be for Sidra Vo. And are there other members of the SI community who have passed this year? Please call out their names. Thank you. Just a few words about grief. Every death that touches us reminds us of all those we have grieved and all those we have yet to grieve. As we remember and celebrate the lives of John and Amber and Sidra and May, let us be kind to ourselves and especially kind to one another, for it takes great courage to grieve. And as much as we need one another in our grief, it is also a very personal process. There's no one who can say how long grief will last or how it will feel. Just when you think it's behind you, a song or a picture brings it back. And so let us be gentle to ourselves in our grief. And let's remember that grief is also the doorway to the heart. So let us resist the temptation to go numb or to turn away, to deny or postpone our grief. For to be healthy, we must let ourselves open the door of grief. For it is our grief which shows us how deeply we love and are loved. Sometimes we imagine ourselves isolated by grief. And yet, when we allow ourselves to grieve fully, our hearts open to a boundless community of friends and family who mourn with us, who celebrate with us, who remember with us. Grief opens us to the collective heart, which is to say, to love, which is present in all of us and which never dies. The poet Mary Oliver wrote, "To live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends upon it, and when the time comes to let it go, to let it go." And so let us grieve well tonight and this week and when we return to our homes, remembering and celebrating the lives of John, Amber, Sidra, and May, so that we may let them go, so that they may be at peace, and so that we also may be at peace.
Thank you.
And so I would invite you to come forward if you're comfortable coming to the microphone, if you have a memory or a story to share, or you can do it from your seats. If we could have the house lights up. Is there somebody who knows how to turn the house lights up? Be great. While you're coming up to the microphone, I have some words that were written by Amber's mother that she hoped that we would share. And that this is Mary Beth Kirshner speaking. Amber came to live with me in the summer of 2000 when she was 12. One of my rules was that she was required to attend worship on Sunday mornings. She did this with relative good grace and brought her friends with her, most of whom would spend the night with us. That the following summer, in 2001, we attended SI the first time. It was this experience that sealed Amber's identity as a UU. She loved it here, and I can trace the development of her as a leader and a supporter of social justice to her experiences at SI. I think SI changed Amber's perspective in a lot of ways. For a week every year, she got to live in a community where everyone really tried to live according to UU principles, and she saw how much better the world could be for all of us if everyone lived that way. She was in a community of youth where the peer pressure was to not bully others, and where all our differences and eccentricities were not just tolerated, but often celebrated. Amber came to understand why our principles are important while at SI. All the time a child spends in our wonderful congregations cannot do as much as 1 week at SI to teach them about community and service. Please, at some point during this week, think of Amber, because her love for this community was so strong. A part of her will always be here with us every year.
I first met Sidra Vo during the Race for the Cure, right after she had been diagnosed with breast cancer many years ago. I forget how many years ago. I think it was 10 or 12, something like that. And I talked to her a little bit about it because a mutual friend had introduced us, and she ended up coming to the hospital where I worked as a radiation therapist, and I ended up treating her for 6 weeks every day, got to know her very well. She was such a free spirit. She drove everybody else crazy in the whole department because she would come in and instead of just sitting there and waiting for her treatment, she would lie on the floor and do her yoga exercises. No one had ever seen that in our waiting room before, and no one had since. So she was a real special person. Anyway, while I was treating her, we would talk a lot. We really bonded. I treated her every single day. And I was telling her about this church that I go to. And she said, "That just sounds like such a special place. I think I'll go." And so after her treatments were over, she and her husband Carl and Kevin, who was just a wee little boy then, started coming to our church, and we became family members. She wasn't just a patient, she was a friend and a member of our church, and for all these years she has been such a great light in our congregation. And there were so many memories that I have of her, but the one that I want to share that I have been thinking about ever since Friday when I found out that she had finally gotten out of her pain was one day, well, several days, I had, a couple years ago, I had a knee replacement. And Sidra, who was undergoing chemo, as usual, she just kept going undergoing chemo over and over again throughout this whole ordeal, insisted on coming to my house every day and helping me do my knee exercises. Because she said, MR, you have helped me so many times, I have to help you. And so she came, not every day, but many days, and helped me do these exercises, you know, counting for me and encouraging me. And one day was an especially painful day, more for her than for me. And I said, what's happening, Sidra? And she just said, would you please hold me? And so this was on my bed at home. I just opened my arms, and she crawled into my arms, and she was just like a daughter to me. She was going through such a hard time. And so after she had helped me, I was able to help her, and we were able to love each other. And that's the memory that I've held in my heart ever since I found out she died. She was a very wonderful person.
John Marshall was my idol. He was co-chair of the panel planning committee in 2002, our family's first year here. And I remember sitting out there and being in awe of John. He stressed community so much, and that just stuck with me all these years. And while sitting there, never in my wildest dreams that I thought that I would follow in his footsteps when I became chair in 2009. And I emulated him. I tried to be like John, but we're not the same people. He, as some of you will remember, John was unique in that he drove around campus in a golf cart with a stuffed gorilla. And the kids loved this, and he had a stick fastened to the gorilla's arm, and so it appeared that the gorilla was waving to you as he went by. And back then we ate lower gunned, and John would bring the gorilla to dinner. And at one point, he left the gorilla sitting in the chair and probably went to get more to eat or whatever. And my wife, Beverly, went over and stuck a banana in the gorilla's hand. And I don't know if he ever figured out how that banana got there. But I have very fond memories of John Marshall.
I had forgotten about the gorilla. I don't know how I could. I want to share a memory of John that was from after he passed. I won't talk about John, the scholarship coordinator, because I can't do that without crying. But I did attend John's memorial service. People might not be familiar with where John and Marilyn were living, but they were in suburban Detroit and had been for many years. And I am in Ann Arbor, not far from there. So I took the opportunity to celebrate his life and to go to his memorial service, which was incredibly beautiful. And I was struck by one thing from his service. At the service, we heard from people in John's extended family, grandchildren and his own children, and we heard from colleagues of his. We heard from people who had worked with him in his more recent years and people who had worked with him a long time ago. We heard from a college friend of his, I think a college roommate. We heard from folks from SI, from the SI community. And what struck me from every single person who spoke about John and who spoke about their specific memories of a specific thing that happened sometime was that John was exactly himself to every single person. He was exactly the same person to everyone in his life. And everyone celebrated his life remembering the same qualities. And I found myself thinking, I will be miles ahead of where I could be if I can end my life having presented myself that genuinely to everyone.
I co-chaired SI, I believe it was in 02, with John. And we worked very closely together, not only the 3 years on the SI committee, but certainly the year that we co-chaired. We would not only meet with the committee every month, but we would drive to each other's homes to discuss plans and make plans. I always remember that when I visited, John was living in Oberlin at the time, and when I visited John, he had and was very proud of his musical system that he had set up in his home, and he would take me through it and describe it, and I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And I would just say, that's wonderful, John. He was truly one of the most caring people I've ever known. And he'll be missed.
I'm not going to try to talk about John Marshall. I'd like to say a word about Nate. It wouldn't be fair to say Nate was a friend of mine. I knew him here. For those of you that did know him from church and from life, all I can say is you are very lucky indeed. Nate was a wonderful, stately, wise elder of SI. I had many conversations with him. And the last time I saw him, I think it was his last year here, was when we were down the hill at that god-awful cafeteria in the gym. And I was dragging myself up the hill, huffing and puffing, and then was passed on the right by Nate. I think he was 92. He waited kindly for me at the top of the hill where I tried to keep up. We ended up talking for a long time, and I showed him the upside-down tree. And so I have this magical memory of being inside the upside-down tree with Nate, who greeted it with great delight like one of the children would. And we talked for a long time and then finally walked together off towards our dorms. And I think that's the last time I saw him. And what a treasure, what a treasure.
Well, I'm hoping this is appropriate because the death that I am wanting to speak to is my children's paternal grandfather, who just died in this past year. And what makes it kind of connected with SI is that my children's father died in 93 when they were 6 and 7. And then I married my husband, David, the fiddler, in 98. And what brought us to SI was my son, who was known as Little Ben. And he was a touch group leader. And over the years, I got involved in SI. And the last year we were here, I was the youth coordinator for 100 youth. And that was a really amazing experience. And we haven't been back since. So this is the first time. And, well, little Ben is no longer little Ben. He not only grew up from being 5'4" to 6'1", he just got married this past Christmas to his lovely wife in Moldova, where he was a Peace Corps person. So it's so cool to come back and see people like Tommy and Caleb and people who knew me, not only as the SI coordinator, but as the nurse before the things got became nurse, and I actually had a woman who I triaged to ICU that summer. So it's been a real experience being here in SI, and it's been such a wonderful experience to see everyone being so loving and open, and it's like, hey, we got to do this every summer now. So the death is like, you know, comes to, you know, like the butterfly comes to become something else, and I just wanted to speak to it and say thank you very much for being so open and loving.
First of all, I'd like to say a few words in honor of Nate Eastman. What a wonderful gentleman. I don't think I can say it any better than Phil did. But what an intelligent, strong, kindly man. I remember that at least one registration that it was very warm. The air conditioning wasn't working properly. And Nate went to his car, and he came back, and he brought us fans that he had made from clementine boxes. And he wrote on them and said, you know, don't throw these away. You know, keep these and use these every year. And I have to tell you that I just found that fan just a few months ago. And I was letting go of many things, but I still have the fan. Also, I don't know how many of you know that John Marshall actually created the scholarship fund. It was through him. It was because of how he cared for this community and how important this community was to him. And he saw such a deep appreciation for the people who could not be here, who did not have the means to attend. And it was he that started the scholarship fund. Since that time, there's been several others, Phil and, of course, Melanie Peskin, who facilitated the process. And in the last few years, I had occasion to ask him to take it over again. It needed leadership again. And immediately, without hesitation, of course he wanted to do that. I can't tell you how much he cared about this community and how important it was for him to bring first-timers in. That just meant everything to him.
And also working in registration, I would like to add that I saw him create a very deliberative, inclusive process. He took a lot of important things into consideration in order to choose the scholarship recipients. And since I worked in registration, while I was working in registration, I was aware of who was coming on scholarship. I would have to say that this community has been incredibly enriched by the people he has brought here on scholarship. On partial and full scholarship. Thank you.
I invite everyone to continue sharing after we leave Vespers this evening, to share your stories, to share the gifts that you have been given by all of these people who have passed, and to remember that they will always be in our hearts and part of this community. I would ask you to join me in singing Safe Passage, singing to the four who have been named, and singing as well to all of those whose lives you have honored in this past year or in previous years, wishing them well in their journey and wishing yourself well. I'll sing it. If you don't know it, don't sing the first time, but join in the second time, and we'll sing it three times through. May we have safe passage, safe, safe passage. May we have safe passage, safe passage on our way. Safe passage on your way, brother. Safe passage on your way, sister. Safe passage on your way, sweet children. Safe passage on our way. May we have safe passage. Safe, safe passage. May we have safe passage. Safe passage on our way.
Life belongs to the whole community. It is a privilege to do for it whatever one can. We should be thoroughly used up when we depart. For the harder we work, the harder we love, the more we live. Life is a splendid torch that we hold for a moment. Let us make ours burn brightly before moving on. Go in peace.
And please rise and join in singing Amber's favorite song, which was This Little Light of Mine.